This episode of News AF is sponsored by our friends over at True Car. Every car comes with its share of stories, like that ding in your bumper when you nervously picked up a first date, that luxury package you got after a big promotion, or the mileage you save by riding your bike all summer long like Danny and Tyson. But boy, you can't put a price tag on your stories. Now with True Car, you can at least find out what your car is worth when it's time to sell it or to trade it in. Just go to True Car and enter your license plate number. Watch how fast your car's details pop up. Then answer a few questions, navigation and moonroof. Watch as they bump up your car's value. High mileage, you already knew it was going to cost you, but now you know how much it's going to ding your wallet so you can plan ahead. And once you're finished, you'll get a true cash offer sent in minutes, which you could take to a local certified dealer to cash out or to trade in. So when you're ready to experience a better way to sell or trade in your car, check out True Car today. True cash offer not available in all areas. Hey, everybody, what's going on? Rob Sesternino back here with you again to talk about the week's most interesting news stories here in the last week of June 2019 here on News AF.
If the story is buzzing like it's on crystal meth, it's about to be News AF. If the same old news makes you bored to death, it's time for some News AF. Actual, factual news.
Yes, that's right. News AF here, back again. Excited to get into all of these news stories here in the summer of News AF. With us, as always, to help us break everything down, the great Tyson Apostle. Tyson, how are you?
I'm doing good. You know, I thought I would be a little more emotional today because we saw Toy Story 4 a couple days ago. And, you know, Toy Story 3 was such a tearjerker. This one was good, but I wasn't sobbing the whole time like the third one. But, you know, still got that buttery smell on my upper lip. It kind of gets trapped in my mustache and I kind of savor it for a while. So I try not to, you know, bathe or anything. Hold on to that smell as long as I can, because going to the movies for us is few and far between, Bob.
Okay. A man who also does not attend a lot of movies, the great Danny Bryson. Danny, how are you?
I guarantee you my upper lip does not smell like butter.
Does not?
No.
Yeah.
Does it really have much of a smell? I'm stretching the skin to it right now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I'm not really getting anything.
Danny, did you go see Toy Story yet?
No. My kids went. The wife went. I stayed at home.
Okay. You were able to avoid it.
I was.
Yeah. I feel like that there hasn't been a demand. I feel like that I've heard mixed reviews.
Oh, I've heard good things.
Mm-hmm.
My kids all liked it. They said that they especially like Buster from Arrested Development has a role, I guess, and they loved his character.
Buster?
No, they don't know. They don't know Buster. But my wife didn't know the name of the actor. But the guy from Veep supposedly has a role, and he's really good.
Danny, what adventure did you go on this week?
Nothing really spectacular. Just a lot of salty sweat, but nothing really to show for it. Yeah, so when I sweat profusely right out of the gate. No matter how long I'm going out, it just pours off of me like a waterfall. The sweat faucet opens, and then it dries up. And so for the rest of the run, I have just salt all over my face, especially the eyes, mustache. So the salty smell of my sweat is always there. But yeah, it's disgusting.
Is it hot by you, Danny?
Yeah, it's 90 degrees today.
Yeah. Tyson, how about you? How's that Arizona heat?
Dude, it is so stinking hot here.
Yep.
But it's a dry heat, so 120 feels like 65 with humidity.
God. They're going to put that on his tombstone.
Yeah.
It's a dry heat.
Yeah. how do you deal with that the dry heat, Tyson?
I mean, we go to the pool every day, and so pretty much the only time we really experience like the full Arizona heat is walking to and from our swim pool.
Okay. All right. Danny, do you do a lot of swimming?
Oh, no, never. I never get into a pool that another human has been in ever.
Yeah. I hear that. I didn't used to think about that stuff, but then these kids carry a lot of germs. If there was maybe I used to think an adult pool would be dirtier, but I think I'm back on board with the kids pool.
My family has a pool, meaning my parents have a pool that our family swims at, and Years ago, there a kid had left a turd in there, a nice brown surprise.
Oh, no.
And after that, I said, never again. I will not be swimming in any pools with other people. I might eventually, if I have enough money, build a pool only I can swim in and my kids can't go in, or my wife.
Classic
and then
Danny.
Yeah, then I'll go swimming. But until I have that pool, the personal pool, no thank you.
Okay. All right. Let's talk about our top story at this hour. And this was sent in to us by a lot of listeners who wanted us to get into this story. I guess because it involves a plane and Canada and a wacky travel scenario. And Danny, this is the story of a person who went to sleep on a Air Canada flight and then woke up and found out that everybody else was gone.
Yeah. Okay. First of all, she just lived every 13-year-old's biggest dream.
Mm-hmm.
Like, the idea of waking up on a plane empty is equal to the idea of waking up in a department store and everybody's gone. It's like a fantasy come true for most people. She said it was a horror story, right? She was terrified.
Isn't this the best case scenario on a plane where you have slept through the entire experience?
Or as the preacher called it, a demon-filled tube. But yes, this is your best case scenario. You wake up completely alone. Any kid would tell you that'd be awesome because now you can play. You run up and down the aisles. You can go sit in the cockpit, pretend like you're flying. But no, she was not happy. She was terrified, she said.
Yeah. Do you think that she was just embarrassed and then has to make it into like this harrowing tale?
Well, she woke up and everybody was gone and the plane was dark. She looked at her phone, classic horror story.
Yeah.
Battery's dead. Which,
okay.
Come on, who's not keeping their battery up? So battery's dead.
Plane. If they don't have the USB dongle, then you know, you could run out of juice on the plane.
So she runs out of juice. Classic story. She wanders up and down the aisles. Eventually, she does find a flashlight.
Mm-hmm.
Then she pops open the door, which, again, live in the dream right there. Who hasn't wanted to open one of those doors? And instead of releasing the little inflatable slide, which I'd be stoked because now you have free range to do whatever you want. But now she opens the door and she's afraid because you're actually pretty high up and she signals to someone with the flashlight. They eventually get her off. I see this as a wasted opportunity to live out a million different plane fantasies.
Like?
Like popping the slide. We all know. I talked about this a couple podcasts ago. This is one of my biggest dreams.
Plane bucket list.
The plane bucket list is to pop that slide and then go down it. I wouldn't even complain. If they let me pop the slide, I'd pop the slide, go down it, leave the airport, go home, never speak of it again.
Yeah. Tyson, what do you make of all this?
And when you survive something like that and look back at it, all you really remember is you don't want to be embarrassed by being there. So everybody is just like in agreement that they have to say it was awesome. It's like when Danny goes on these adventures and you're like, was it cool? And he's like, it was for sure cool. Otherwise it was a waste of 32 hours I spent away from my family. So he has to talk it up like it was the greatest thing he's ever done in his life.
Yeah. So I guess she has to talk about what an experience this was.
Yeah, but she wasn't afraid to be embarrassed.
Yeah. I mean, what did those flight attendants do? Did they attempt to wake this woman?
So I always thought that there would be a walkthrough, right? Okay, the plane appears to be empty. They walk up and down the aisle. I've seen them do it.
Right.
As the plane empties, they walk up and down.
They clean the plane after.
Yeah.
Not well.
They look for loose items and whatnot. And so I don't know how they missed this lady. Maybe she was asleep on the floor, which would be disgusting.
Yeah. If you're one of the plane cleaners, like, do you get to keep anything that you find?
I thought that
might entice that people to take that job more.
Yeah, the pay sucks, but I get tons of sweet.
Oh, here's a gold doubloon.
Apple chargers, dongles. Yeah. I get tons of free dongles.
Tons of dongles. Yeah. I think you might get an iPad.
Wait, did you just say a gold doubloon?
Yeah.
I just left. Oh, dang it. We got to go back. I just left my gold doubloon on the plane.
Go back. What's your, it's like, ah,
Lafayette. Yeah, we've already passed customs. Ah, oh, dang it.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, some guy's got it in his teeth to make sure it's authentic. Yeah, it's like, oh,
we left a bag of Lego minifigures on an airplane recently.
That's at least $100 right there.
Yeah, that's valuable. So,
did you leave it on the floor so someone could step on it?
What do you think? These people are turning this stuff into the lost and found?
No.
There's no lost and found.
No, there's only lost.
Yeah. So I bet those people, like, I was, you know, when I see those people, I was like, oh, this is probably not a great job. But then I forgot about all the treasure that gets left behind.
Treasure. I like that you called it treasure.
Yeah. It's the same as those people that are on the beach with the metal detector. I think you have more of a chance of finding the gold doubloon on an airplane in the seat back pocket.
I saw a guy in a field the other day here with a metal detector. And I thought, what do you think you're going to find? Spanish gold? what do you think you're going to find? Seems so pointless. Maybe in Europe that makes sense because they have, yeah, you know, 2,000 years of history underneath the soil, but here it's like, no. I do wonder how this lady got passed up.
Yeah, how did they finish cleaning the plane, turn out the lights, and then just walk off the plane?
Yeah, maybe her whole life she's like, I just feel invisible, and this is only more evidence that people just pass her by.
I guess so. Yeah, I don't know. I don't get that. I don't understand. Like, I don't understand. She wakes up and it's like she's surrounded by like a team of flight attendants. Like, ma'am, you slept through the whole flight. You need to get up and leave now. But I don't understand how it's like, all right, last one out, turn off, you know, let's close, lock up the plane for the night.
Okay, let's say this is the only scenario. Humans being humans, they land at 1 a.m. if people just want to get home. Last leg of a long day. Just go park it over there, you know, and let's just be done. Mm-hmm. No, we don't need to do a walkthrough. Hardly anyone was on the flight. Take a scan. No one's around. Good enough. Mm-hmm. It's Canada.
Yeah. No, were they being nice? We're like, well, we don't want to wake her.
That would be awesome. No, just let her sleep.
Just
sleep. They should have left the door open, plate of cookies, some more milk, the door open, the slide down, you know, at your convenience.
Yeah. So she was scared and she was, you know, afraid. But overall, I think this was compared to most of the airplane stories we talk about, this was, I think, the happiest ending of all sorts of airplane stories.
And it could have been a million times happier had she taken advantage of the situation.
Yeah. Okay.
All the salted peanuts she could ever want.
No, no peanuts on an airplane, Danny.
Okay, all the soda, peanuts, and pops that slide. I mean, that's a good night out.
You think she could have hit the mini bar?
Yeah, mini bar. It could have been a really good night out.
Did
wasted
they lock
opportunity.
That stuff up though.
Well, they're not checking the plane for loose bodies. I doubt they're locking up the mini bar.
Hmm. Yeah. Okay. This is a another story that's involving a airplane, and this is another fun one. Tyson, what do you make of this story about Cam Newton and what he tried to do recently on an airplane?
Danny, did you read this one? I actually didn't have time this morning dropping Bergen off at preschool and stuff. So whoever read it, Rob or Danny, let's hear it. Usually I'm pretty good with just the headline, but sometimes I need a little more.
Okay, I understand. Cam Newton is a NFL quarterback. Danny, are you familiar with the work of Cam Newton?
Played for the Panthers?
Yeah, still does.
Yes.
Still does. Big guy, been, you know, a big part of his success has been on a number of my fantasy football teams. Okay. And so Cam Newton was recently on a flight and he apparently had a seat that was in coach.
Why?
And he wanted the seat of a man who was in business class and tried to offer the man $1,500 for the flight with the extra legroom, that seat. And Cam Newton was unable to get the seat from the man.
First of all, why would anyone dress like Cam Newton? That is not a passenger flying class type of outfit. Mm-hmm. He looks way too stylish to be in.
Yeah.
So economy class.
Yeah. Does this happen often on flights, Danny? Do you think that people like there's like some sort of like a first class, business class auction?
Well, we've talked about that. It was actually, I think, one of your sloth terrarium ideas.
Yes.
Well, an auction system to get open seats on planes, mm-hmm. in which case, Cam, maybe you should reach out to him.
Yeah.
And get this ball rolling with an investment from him.
$1,500 seems like a low ball offer. I mean, I do not know the career earnings of Cam Newton, but I kind of feel like that, what is the cost of that seat? Like, I think that Cam is like trying to pay like face value.
Yeah, I don't think $1,500 is enough.
He's getting it done. Maybe that's like a cash he had on him.
Yeah, it could have been. I mean, he could have Venmo'd the guy. We live in the modern age. Yeah. He could have done Apple Pay. That's what I thought it was more than anything else, was he just lowballed the guy.
Lowball. Yeah. You're Cam Newton. You're going to come in with a big offer here. We actually have some phone footage of Cam Newton making the pitch. So let's see if we can hear what Cam Newton is saying. Cam Newton, he's making his offer, but kind of hard to hear over the airplane noise, but that he is offering the guy the money. You see the guy, the back of the guy's head.
Danny, tell me this wasn't you. Was this you?
I wish I was flying in business class.
Yeah. So
he makes $20 million a year, by the way. That's what this article says. And he's offering $1,500 for probably what cost around $4,000.
Yeah, I think that the starting offer, I think, needs to be $5,000.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, because you're inconveniencing the guy.
Mm-hmm.
It was an unplanned switcheroo at the last minute, so you got to give him mental anguish money.
Right.
Yeah, I think you're starting, I would say start around $3,000. Because it's only one leg of the trip.
Why
this guy's going to have
around? Well, this is, Cam Newton, this is pocket change for him.
Yeah, you're not buying used clothing at a yard sale.
Yeah.
You're trying to get into business class on a long flight to Paris.
Right. And so what if you're like sitting next to Cam Newton wearing like this, Technicolor dream coat in coach? Like, hey, are you Cam Newton?
Hey, the other thing is, we're lucky this didn't turn into a bad passenger scenario. After refusing to accept the $1,500.
Many of Cam Newton's bad passengers.
Yeah, right? Doesn't he have something of a temper in the league?
Temper?
Or
I'm not sure.
Attitude?
He's had some sort of like a testy press conferences. I think that's been.
So could you imagine after this occurred, being the guy that sits next to him? Now you've got to listen.
On the field, he's known as being ill-tempered.
Yeah, so now you've got 8 hours of an angry Cam next to you on your flight. Let's hope you don't make any mistakes. If he's sitting in the middle, you better give him both those arms.
Yeah.
Armrests.
Okay, this is a story from the food delivery industry. Danny, I know you love Mountain Dew. You love fast food. How do you feel about Slurpees?
I don't get them very often. I almost bought one 2 days ago because it's so hot, but I don't typically buy them because with a soda, you can drink it down to the last drop. With a Slurpee, you suck out all the color and flavor, and then you're left with that hard ice crap for the last third.
Yes. And then, but you could wait for that to melt.
You could, but I don't want to play that game.
Do they do a Mountain Dew Slurpee? I know they do a Coke Slurpee.
I'm sure they do. Yeah. They do every flavor Slurpee.
I used to drink a lot of Slurpees like in the mid-90s, but I think it's probably been a good 20 years since I had one.
Maybe it's time to return to the Slurpee.
Maybe it's not.
Let's start something called the Slurpee Cleanse.
Yeah.
And, with this new service, you could keep up your Slurpee Cleanse.
Do they post nutritional information on a Slurpee?
Definitely shouldn't do that if you want to have people keep buying Slurpees.
Yeah, just hypothetically speaking, I'm trying 32 ounce Slurpee. No, I would have guessed higher. Clocking in around 468 calories.
Okay, not bad.
And then 116 grams of sugar, though. That's a lot.
So it's mostly sugar.
Yeah, mostly sugar, but then also is offset by water. So
thank goodness. Okay. That's
all
nice.
Right. So then Slurpee is launching the ability to be able to deliver Slurpees to you at some of New York and Los Angeles's parks and beaches.
Of all the things you could deliver, the Slurpee seems like the worst thing. Because by the time it gets to me, it's no longer a Slurpee. It's just a kind of cold drink. Right?
Right. You would think that the logistics required to deliver a $4 Slurpee to somebody would make this business venture untenable.
Yeah. I mean, maybe deliver some of those crispy egg rolls that have been rotating for hours on end. Get rid of those.
Well, that you could deliver. Nobody wants them.
Yeah. But a Slurpee, you're going to get that Slurpee and it's now just going to be a drink.
Do you ever eat any of the 7-Eleven hot dogs or like rotating taquito?
I don't have a death wish.
I guess I must, in the mid 90s, I must have been hanging out at a lot of 7-Elevens because I feel like I definitely between like 1993 and 2001, I feel like I did eat a fair amount of those.
You lived out of 7-Elevens?
I didn't live out of 7-Elevens, but a 7-Eleven I think was probably in my price range and then also in my convenience range.
You know, if I'm not going to swim in a public pool, I'm probably also not going to eat a item that's been rotating for hours on the counter of a 7-Eleven.
Okay. So the app is called 7Now app. So they are going to, you can go in there and then for $3.99, there is no minimum to what you can order. That's just a flat delivery fee.
Are you tipping the Slurpee delivery man?
I think there's probably an option to tip the Slurpee delivery guy.
How much do you tip a Slurpee guy?
I mean, I think that you probably have the same rate of a tip, no matter whether it's a guy from 7-Eleven or Domino's or any delivery service, right?
Yeah, but it's so cheap for $4.
Yeah. So you think there's a minimum tip you should do?
Yeah. Well, when that guy hands you the completely melted Slurpee, not his fault, right?
Yeah. They got like a bag with dry ice that they're going to be moving these things around.
Is that safe? Dry ice?
Huh, I think it is. You know, if you get order like a Omaha steak or something like that, I think it's safe.
Okay.
It's probably as safe as the Slurpee.
I would really like for someone to order this to tell us how it worked out because I cannot imagine even in the best, scenario that you're getting that Slurpee in still Slurpee form.
Yeah. Again, only a couple of locations. They are hoping to expand this to 200,000 locations in the near future.
Dreaming big.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So, Danny, this year, instead of going to the hot soup bar, not knowing what day it is, only to find everybody scampering for the last orchid pot in the whole grocery store, you can now go to, what is it, Rob?
7-Eleven. 7-Eleven has this. This is the 7Now app, Tyson.
How about this? This is a better plan. 7-Eleven, if you're listening, I'm giving you this idea for free.
Yeah.
Get rid of the ice cream man with his tin-sounding music as he prowls the neighborhood.
Slurpee truck?
Yeah, Mr. Slurpee. Slurpee trucks. Okay. Coming to 200,000 locations, Mr. Slurpee brings you liquid joy in a clear cup every day.
Dude,
at all the beaches.
You're so smart.
Dude, 10 years to get my bachelor's. So it's a lot of time at school.
Yeah.
So look, that's a genius idea. If I saw a 7-Eleven Mr. Slurpee truck coming down the street, I'm out there. I'm pushing kids out of the way to get first in line. But
that is a good idea.
Yeah, if I'm calling it, if I'm tweeting
like
or whatever.
Truck.
Yeah, like a food truck, but a Slurpee truck.
Yeah. Because how many people are at this specific park or, how many people are in Central Park? Oh, let me order a Slurpee right here. Just have the Slurpee truck.
Come by playing some music. They've done research, that proves that it triggers some kind of salvation.
Right. You're on Venice Beach. Salvation. There's a million things that are there. What do I need to order a Slurpee? And then I got to find where the Slurpee guy is. Much, much better idea, Danny.
Yeah. Well, they get that one for free.
Okay. I know. I much prefer that. Okay. Let's talk about some wedding news. And let's talk about a woman who is in Florida who is making headlines because she has one of the biggest wedding parties I think ever assembled, where she has 34 bridesmaids.
So many things blow me away about this story.
34.
34. Who has 34 people they could ask to be bridesmaids? That's the most impressive thing. Who knows 34 people that would say yes to that?
Well,
and then to have good chemistry among all 34, doesn't these types of stories normally end in some kind of terrible, terrible fight, or, you know, they wore the wrong dress? So there's so much about this story that goes against everything I believed when it came to weddings.
Her name is Kazmé Carter, and she has 34 bridesmaids. She was recently interviewed by Inside Edition. Do you want to hear any of that?
Maybe.
Let's check it out. Let's see what Kazmé has.
34 bridesmaids. We're not joking. Kazmé Carter wanted the wedding of her dreams, so she asked her closest besties to be bridesmaids. All 34 of them.
Six of the ladies were actually my biological sisters.
Okay.
And the rest of them either went to school with me, high school, college.
Wow.
Or I worked with them, or they just came into my life.
When she told her fiancé about her big plans for the wedding, he couldn't believe it.
Yeah, I bet.
I bet. I bet he mumbled some stuff under his breath for sure.
Like, I cannot believe this. Yeah, how did he say it?
Oh, shit.
34 people. Do you think that at some point you're just looking for anybody that will accept the invitation to be the bridesmaid at that point? Or it's like, hey, I'm going for the record here. Would you be one of the bridesmaids?
When I originally saw this, what I thought it was is someone who couldn't say no. So instead of having an awkward interaction with this person later for not making them a bridesmaid, like, mm-hmm. Well, why didn't you make me a bridesmaid? You made, Susie a bridesmaid. Mm-hmm. She just thought, you know what? I'm just going to not deal with any of that. Everyone's a bridesmaid. Everyone gets a trophy. It's the equivalent of everyone gets a trophy.
Participation trophy.
Yes, award
of weddings.
She's like, all of my female guests are also bridesmaids.
Mm-hmm.
There. Everyone happy.
No, I think that this was one of these things where it's like, people are like, hey, why don't you guys try to go for this Guinness Book of World Records? I think that she's like, okay, this can be my thing. I could be the bridesmaid lady.
Is this a record? Did she call Guinness? Was Guinness there to document it? They sent someone?
I don't know if this has been, if they have a record for this. These weddings are getting out of control. I don't know if they've started tracking this, the all-time record for most bridesmaids. But I think this would be an easy record to topple if somebody wanted to outdo this.
The problem is finding 34 people who would say yes.
34 people and wear that dress and
yeah.
Know.
Normally, there's so many things about being a bridesmaid from just what I've read and observed. One, they always feel like they get the ugly dress, right? Mm-hmm. That doesn't fit them or make them look good. Two, there's always infighting between bridesmaids, it seems like.
Yeah.
So it's risky. 34 is risky. That's 34 potential problems you've just invited into your most special day.
Yes. So that they didn't have a one.
That's
dress.
Smart.
They said that Kazmé just wanted her bridesmaids to wear earth tones. So that went fine. But unfortunately, the magazine Essence, who also talked to Kazmé, reported that somebody stole Kazmé's original wedding dress and her engagement ring fell into the ocean during a bachelorette trip. So a lot of things going wrong. Maybe when somebody with the metal detector on the beach.
Yeah, we'll get one of those people over there.
Find Kazmé's engagement ring.
She really risked the whole bridesmaid drama where one of the bridesmaids shows up in a white dress.
Yes.
So maybe it's good that her dress was lost because then it eliminated the need of one of her bridesmaids to also wear a white dress.
I think reportedly also, I think that Kazmé's fiance also reportedly could not believe when he heard that the engagement ring was lost at sea.
Like, this guy's having.
I cannot believe you lost the ring.
And you invited 34 women to be your bridesmaids.
I cannot believe this. 34 bridesmaids and you lost the ring.
Do you think that already he's like, man, what have I gotten myself into?
Do you know what
ring.
I did for my bachelor party? I went to Disneyland. Do you know how lame that is for a bachelor party? And you took 34 women?
on a trip and you lost her. I cannot believe this.
Problem is, 34 women as your bridesmaid, if you're the groom, what you should realize at that moment are all the events, weddings, dinners, family functions, and things you're going to have to go to.
Because you're 34 weddings you have to go to now.
Yeah, exactly. You are locked in to an endless procession of horrible wedding food, awkward encounters, and small talks for at least a decade or two.
Yes, yes. That's why I try to avoid a lot of these social situations. Not my wife. How many different things can we invite people to? I'm like, you know that you have to, but she doesn't play by the same rules. If she's like, I don't have to go in anything I don't want to.
Yeah, yeah. If you got the guts to execute that with honesty, then
yeah.
Bravo.
I think because people are afraid of her. I think that's really what it comes down to. This did take place in Florida. So, Danny, would you is this a only in Florida story?
No, this is not even a Florida story. No drugs, no reptiles, no police were involved. This is not a Florida story.
Yeah.
Could happen anywhere. There's nothing that says this is a Florida story.
Florida woman. What's better, do you think? Florida man or Florida woman? Because they're both pretty awesome.
Well,
we don't do a lot of Florida woman, unfortunately.
No. If this is a Florida woman, it would have been Florida woman invites 34 women to be bridesmaid. Chaos ensues. Hotel is set on fire. Alligators. People are slapped with alligators. And local McDonald's is terrorized by bridesmaids post-party.
Yeah.
That would have been the story I would have expected out of Florida.
Okay. Let's talk about some interesting studies that were revealed this week.
Break real quick. I'll be right back.
Okay.
Get it done.
All right. The nature calls. Don't mess around with that, Tyson. Okay. Danny, let's talk about this story where... look, we know about the happy nuptials for Kazmé and her fiance, but a study has revealed that according to this study, one third of women admitted to going on dates for a free meal, according to this study. Again, small sample size. This was from Azusa Pacific University and UC Merced, who polled 357 heterosexual women to ask them a question about their personalities, and 33% of the participants admitted to engaging in a date just to get a free dinner.
This is obviously a study that some men came up with. They had a nagging suspicion that these women who weren't responding to their texts or calls after the first date were just in it for a free meal. So they're like, hey, look, we got some money for some research. What should we throw it at?
Call her. Ask her if she goes on dates just to get a free dinner.
Yeah. And every time a person in the study said, yeah, I've done it for a free dinner. Oh, I do it. I knew it.
The researcher.
Oh, totally. My wife has admitted to going on multiple dates.
I was going to say I am skeptical about this.
My wife said her freshman year in college, she accepted most dates just so she could get a good meal.
How good is the meal
never good.
Yeah, you go on a date. I mean, first of all, that's a big time commitment to go on a date.
Plus, you are technically paying for the meal, and you're paying for the meal in awkward small talk, and then the price of the emotional and mental price of having to go someone when you're done with the date, because it doesn't continue. You gotta cut off all contact. It's just they do pay for it. It's not technically free. They actually have to listen to someone they don't want to be around go on and on about, you know, their career at the bank, local, you know, the stock market or whatever. So there is a price to be paid. Technically not free.
Yeah. Wow. I guess are some of these guys just getting like really good reservations at places?
Could be. I mean, some might just do it for, a free meal at Wendy's. It's a free meal. Food is expensive. Eating out is also very expensive.
Food is expensive, I guess. What about if you are a guy and you are asking a woman out on a date that and the woman says, well, where are we going? Okay. Should that be a tip off that maybe that she is one of these 33% of the women that were polled?
Yeah, that could be a good sign that she's not in it for the right reasons. But let's say you're the guy. You've asked out a woman. The alternative is to eat at a restaurant alone, right? So maybe for a lot of guys, it's like I could either go somewhere and eat by myself or I could pay for somebody else's meal and have some company. So
I guess so. This study, maybe, they're calling this act a foodie call. Danny.
Yeah. Okay. I like that. Let's actually, here's a sloth terrarium. Okay. Let's create an app that openly brings us out into the open. Like they're looking for, you're looking for company. I'm looking for a free meal. Let's put these people together.
I don't know if the guy is though actively looking for like a dinner companion.
Yeah, but a lot of people do have a hard time eating by yourself. Sometimes when you go to like, let's say,
so this
you
is
go
like
to
a totally different thing. This isn't dating. This is like, hey, I want like I'm a, like a restaurant, like I am a person of means who likes going to fancy restaurants, but I have nobody that will accompany me. Would you like? Yeah.
Food prostitution.
I would say escort. Escort.
Escort. Food. Food escort.
Escort.
Yeah, exactly.
Go.
That's right. That's
escort
better.
Go.
An escort.
How about that for the name?
Yeah.
Like it's like you go to fancy friends restaurants. You need a friend.
Escort go. Yeah, because it is kind of weird, especially when you're younger. Now I'm at an age where it doesn't matter. I'll eat and go to a movie completely by myself and feel fine.
Going to a restaurant by myself is a fantasy.
Yeah, yeah, it's actually a great thing. But when I was younger, I could kind of see why that would feel awkward.
Just sitting at the Olive Garden the whole time and listen to a podcast.
Yeah, okay, but you have to remember when we were younger, yes, that was the phone wasn't really an option. If you ate at a restaurant by yourself, all you could do is either stare at your food or stare at other people.
Right. You have a book, I guess, but
that's weird. You're bringing a book. You actually like took the time to figure out I'm going to bring this
book. Magazine.
Again, a little weird. Now it's easy. Now you can get away with eating by yourself.
Okay, what about the newspaper?
Well, that makes you look like you're
I used to be a big newspaper guy.
Yeah, it looks good when you're reading a newspaper.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But, okay, you know what? This food, so we're calling it Escort Go.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that's...
people who have no friends who are looking for, it could be, you know, man or woman, completely platonic. You just go and have a dinner. You show up, I'll pay.
Yeah. And by the way, this isn't any worse than that cuddling service. You know, a guy mm-hmm. just needs a good cuddle at night and they've got an app for that, I'm sure, or but at least it is a service.
The people on Escort Go, like they have to talk about like, oh, I could talk about I'm proficient in talking about these topics of like politics and like they list their political views or
well, that's
like
why you're eating alone.
Or you know, literature, you know, it's like, oh, okay, well, I would really like to talk about this. So then you bring that person.
Here's a new study. How many bridesmaids have just been bridesmaids for the dress or, you know, the bachelorette party? Probably not very
invited
many.
To the bachelorette party, even if you're not in the wedding party.
Not in a bridesmaids? Okay.
Yeah, I don't know if there's a lot of perks in being. I think it's just sort of like that it proves like your proximity of friendship to like it's like a tier of friends that like, okay, oh, how come I'm in the wedding party and they're not? But I mean, I don't think there's a lot of perks.
Okay. I didn't think there were.
Okay.
But, all right. Okay.
Well, let's talk about one other study this week. And out of Provo, Utah, Danny.
Whoa.
That's where, I don't know.
Right next door.
Yeah. Yes. Tyson's old stomping grounds. Mm-hmm. So a study has analyzed a 1,000 people and it indicated that the people who are watching pornography in the workplace, people who are watching pornography in the workplace were also the most likely people to be acting unethically at work. There seemed to be a connection between people that watch porn at work and also people that behave unethically in the workplace.
Well, right off the bat, you're not doing work. Like the study just, you could, might be able to find that people who play Bejeweled during work also behave somewhat unethically because while they should be working, they're not working right there. That's not ethical. Then they're telling their employer that they are working.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? So right off the bat, they've got everything going against them. Are they saying that specifically watching adult content makes you more unethical? Or, you know what I'm saying? Like, if you were watching Netflix,
yeah,
it seems like you might also behave unethically.
Okay.
Like, what are they doing above and beyond? Like, they're taking money. They stealing office supplies. Are they, you know, like, what else? What is it that's making them behave unethically?
So do you feel like is there causation? Is it that or is it the same attitude that is causing them to be watching porn in the workplace is also causing them to be unethical? You don't think that the porn is causing the unethical behavior?
Well, that's what I'd like to know. What if a guy, like someone who binge watches on Netflix, or let's say not even a bad show, like, I don't know, is he performing unethically? So that's what I'm saying.
So you're asking, is there a difference between the person who's watching porn and the person who's watching Stranger Things season 3?
Yes, exactly.
In their cubicle?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, are they both performing unethically, or what specific about porn that made them be more unethical than the guy binge watching Stranger Things?
Yeah. So, this is a whole study from the effects of pornography on unethical behavior in business. They've got a whole thing. This is like an 18 page piece of research, and they felt like that the viewing the pornography in the workplace attributed to the dehumanization of coworkers.
So yeah, so now if you're telling me that they're sexually harassing people, and maybe they're taking care of themselves a little too much in the bathroom, you know what I mean? That that to me, okay, now we can connect it to what they were watching. So that's what I was looking for.
Yeah,
what are they doing above and beyond?
Yes.
Just burning time.
Okay, so people can go ahead and research this study for more.
Plus, their workstation's filthy. Mm-hmm. I'm guessing. Also, they're disturbing everybody else. It's like those people who watch it on the plane. It's like, even with your sound all the way down, people are walking by. It's like very disruptive. And obviously, you have an addiction. It's like drinking at the workplace. If you can't keep it just at home and you actually have to watch it at work, that says a lot about how much you love it. Mm-hmm. You're like, right then and there, you've got a problem. And it has to do more with like wasting your time at work. Like, you've got a real issue.
You got a real issue. Okay. All right. So if you see somebody in your workplace actively watching pornography, just also be aware that this
hide your valuables.
This person may not be a coworker to go to bat for. Because they could.
Yeah. Maybe if they invite you to be a bachelor or a bridesmaid, maybe. Mm-hmm. Think twice about it.
Okay. All right. Before we get into talking about what's going on in DBH, let me take a moment and thank one of our sponsors, and those are our friends over at Scentbird. Because, look, if you have somebody in your workplace that's subscribed to Scentbird or you, that's a person that you know you can trust. Because those are the kind of people that have a person come up and say, hey, you smell amazing. What
yes.
cologne are you wearing? And you'll know that it was thanks to Scentbird, the luxury fragrance subscription service, where you can mix up your cologne or perfume routine, a way for you to discover new colognes or perfumes without having to buy the entire bottle. Scentbird has more than 450 designer brands for you to choose a cologne or perfume from each month. You could try the brands that you want. It's the real deal. Gucci, Tom Ford, Kenneth Cole, Burberry, Prada, and more. Choose the cologne that you want to try. They'll send you a 30-day supply. That's 120 sprays, enough to apply more than 4 times daily for a month. Danny, that could be perfect for you with considering all of the running that you're doing.
Yeah, I could spray it on me, but also in my car because my car smells really bad from running.
Yeah, you could do it and really get people feeling like you're smelling great. If you're not sure of the type of scent that you're looking for, sort colognes and perfumes by brand, occasion, season, style, and more. Check out the user ratings and reviews on any fragrance or take Scentbird's True Scent Quiz to discover more personalized recommendations. Hey, if you're having trouble finding people to have a dinner with you, maybe Scentbird is going to be the thing that is going to open up a whole new world of possibilities for you. My wife has gotten to try out Scentbird. It's got a bunch of different perfumes that she's able to mix and match. It's the way to go without breaking the bank for great smelling colognes or perfumes. And with this exclusive offer for our listeners, you can get 50% off your first month today. That's only $7.50 for your first fragrance. Go to scentbird.com/Rob and use promo code Rob to get 50% off your first month. That's scentbird.com. That's S-C-E-N-T bird.com/Rob for you to try your cologne or perfume for just $7.50. Sign on and smell amazing. Danny, are you ready to take us away into the bolt hole?
I'm ready.
Okay, here we go.
Welcome to my bolt hole. I think you're gonna like it. I think you're gonna feel you belong.
Yeah.
I hope Tyson's okay.
Yeah,
that's a really long time. I hope you. Okay.
Oh, okay. All right, Tyson. Tyson is back and ready to go for Danny's bolt hole.
Wanted him to be here. I'm about to deliver a whole bunch of science.
Okay.
I made an effort this week.
Danny.
I know my love of science is well documented. I made a point this week. Rob and I talked last week about how sometimes we get our stories from not the classiest websites.
Mm-hmm.
So
we might have a lot of spyware on our computers, but we do it for you.
Yeah. It's a risk we're willing to take to bring people the most important news. But this week I made a point.
We're always willing to make a sacrifice.
That's right.
Even when I'm at the pool with my daughters for 4 hours, there's a part of me that's like, this is too long to be at the pool for me, but my daughters love it. So I'm making a sacrifice for them to enjoy their lives to the fullest while I slowly wither away.
Yeah, and that's what we're doing here. We're willing to sacrifice our hardware and software. Yeah, very, very similar. Thank you, Tyson, for that. So I've gone out and found some highbrow news from NPR, which, by the way, we did have another NPR story in here.
Yeah, the airplane story.
Yeah, so it's a little bit classier. But I noticed this because sometimes when I think about people in general, I view them all as ruffians and criminals.
Mm-hmm.
And then I meet them and I find out that, oh, they're okay. They're way better than me. But usually when I look at the big picture, I'm like, the world is filled with, Floridians, the bad kind. And so I always appreciate a study that proves me wrong when it comes to people.
Yeah.
They did some research. These researchers dropped 17,000 wallets. They dropped 17,000 wallets.
I'd seen this headline. Yes.
It's a great story around the globe.
I love this story.
Yeah. It's a really good story. And what they found was surprising, especially to me, someone who has such a grim view of humanity. So what they did is they took a wallet. It was a clear wallet. And in some instances, they put money in it. But they put, like a contact card and some other information. What a researcher would do is take it into a place, pretend like he had found it on the street, and give it to a receptionist or a clerk or someone working at a grocery store and say that they found it and they didn't have time to locate the person and leave the wallet with that person. Mm-hmm. And the researchers were trying to find out what the people would do who received the wallet. Would they contact the people through the information they found in the wallet, or would they keep it for themselves?
Yeah.
So, and this is the surprising part. They found that when you put money in the wallet, more people return the wallet.
Okay.
And even more shocking, as you increase the amount of money in the wallet, you also increase the percentage of people who returned the wallet.
Wait, what?
Exactly. Blew my mind. That seems completely counterintuitive to what you would think would happen. And so eventually they dropped wallets with $100.
Okay.
And those wallets that had $100 were returned with a higher percentage than anything else.
I mean, how high did they go?
Okay, so let's go to the best and worst countries Okay, here we have. So the highest reporting rate was found in the condition where the wallet included $100. Mm-hmm. 46% of wallets with no money were reported, compared with 61% of those with $13.
Really, what they need to do is leave a wallet in the seat back pocket of airplanes and then find out. Because I feel like that 0% of those are being returned.
Oh, yeah. Well, 72% of the wallets with $100 were returned.
72%.
72% with the highest return rate coming in Denmark, which was a return rate of 80%.
Yeah.
Whereas in Peru, only 10% of wallets were returned with
Peru.
Money. I know. That's a bad showing, Peru. Come on, you could do better.
Mm-hmm.
So what I found out, a lot of times when I see money on the ground, I don't touch it because I think it's part of some elaborate prank.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Right? I've mentioned this before. I don't touch it. If I find a wallet, I don't touch it because I feel like I'm going to end up on TV somehow.
Yeah.
It's highly suspicious. Like, why is that on the ground? I have had family members and others who have lost wallets in the strangest ways, and they have surprisingly been returned. And the reason they think that people returned wallets with money is, except for in the case of Greyhounders, most people don't want to be viewed as thieves. So as the amount increases in the wallet, it becomes harder for the person to keep the wallet and not feel like they are a thief.
So then if the wallet did not have contact information, would people just pocket it or would they put it back down?
That's a good point. Maybe you can contact these researchers and have them do that. But in this case, yeah, most people returned it just because they didn't want to feel like they were a thief. And that's why the wallet with no money, the reporting was lower, because it's like, what's a person caring? It doesn't care about this empty wallet. Like, yeah. I don't want to put in the effort. But $100, you hold $100. Now you feel like you've taken something from someone.
Yes, yes. I feel like I used to, at one point in my life, find a lot of money on the ground. But then I've also been where I've been at, like, on I was at, like, a podcast conference once, and there was, like, $100 bills on the ground. But then when you picked it up, it's like, oh,
see?
This is like, come to my booth. This isn't really $100. Like, no, I'm not coming there after you tricked me.
Yeah, that's not a great marketing tool, is to trick people.
You think that when you go to pick up the money, there's like, it's like attached to a string and then somebody's
or someone wiped their butt with it. Or I'm being,
there's like some research underneath. Yeah.
Yeah. Or there's a research, someone's filming me somewhere. I just leave it be. Like, it's not worth whatever's in that wallet. It's not worth it to me.
Do you think that people were mad when they went through all the trouble to find the person that was attached to the wallet? And then did the person then say, yeah, thank you, this was just part of a study to see if we were, this isn't even really my money. Like, I went all the way out of my way today to go. I went 4 hours out of my way to go give you this wallet, and it's not even really.
No, it wasn't that big of a deal. Because they responded, they contacted the owner of the wallet through email. Okay. And then the researcher said, you can keep the wallet. We don't need it anymore.
Oh, so you get to keep the $100.
Yeah. So that's rewarding them for their good behavior.
Yeah, I think that people also want the reward. They feel like that, like, hey, I'll get to keep some of this money.
Anyway, it's just a feel-good story. It's always nice to read that the human race isn't as miserable as I sometimes think they are. So this is a necessary story for me to keep on. Mingling.
I'm trying to remember this correctly. I think I dropped my wallet one time in one of my old apartment buildings, and I think somebody returned it to me. I'm trying to remember if I found a wallet. I think I lost my wallet, and it was returned to me.
Wow. So you didn't even need this study to
tell
you.
Found it. Yeah. So believe me, there was no money in it. I might have been at my brokest point at the point I lost the wallet. There was, but my driver's license was.
And that's a huge inconvenience, by the way.
Go to the DMV.
That's worth at least $500.
Okay. All right. Danny, anything else you want to say as we start to wrap things up today?
I did have one other thing I wanted to ask you, Rob.
Yeah.
Scenario. You're in a car, a nice car. The car has dual
somebody
climate control.
Car. Yes. Yes.
Right. So you're in the passenger seat, and let's say I'm driving. You can control your own temperature. You can decide whether to be warm or
cold. Who's driving? You're driving, or I'm driving?
I'm driving.
Dan's driving. Okay.
You're in the passenger seat.
Yes.
It's dual controlled. Now let's say you want to turn the temperature down. You think it's too cold. how do you do that? What do you do?
So I think I would control, I mean, as long as it's a car that I'm familiar with, I would control my own temperature.
Yes.
Does this happen to you?
All the time. People get in my car. Yes, yeah. My wife first, but it happened again with someone. I explained to them a million times. If you are uncomfortable, one, don't turn off the entire air conditioning system.
Yeah.
Turning it off is not an option at all. First of all, don't push my buttons. These are my dials, right?
Literally, yeah.
Second of all, don't turn the entire system down because that turns off auto. And now it's just like, now we're both uncomfortable. And I kept explaining to him, and I've had to explain this to other people, this is your dial. You don't like how high the fan is? Don't turn down the fan. Turn up your temperature when it comes to air conditioning. Yes. So this is like me doing a PSA.
And you run hot.
Yeah. This is a PSA to all our listeners who probably don't even need this. Mm-hmm. But maybe you can educate your friends that when you're in a car and both the passenger and the driver have their own climate controls, touch your own controls and don't do anything else. Especially do not turn off the entire system because you're too hot or cold. Right.
So you're going to do it, Danny?
Yeah, I'm doing it right now. I'm sending out this message as a plea to people. Just just manage your own controls. Don't turn off the entire system. I mean, it happened so much during the drive. I nearly lost my mind.
Okay. And this was Liz just messing with the controls.
No, this is not just Liz. This is a trip I recently took with someone else and we drove for like 20 hours. Mm-hmm. In Colorado and New Mexico, and just he kept turning down the fan or turning off the system.
I won't do it. I won't. I'll bring a sweatshirt.
I was losing my mind. So there it is. That's my my PSA announcement. Everyone can be comfortable. All right, that's the way it works.
Okay, Tyson. Anything else that you want to say before we start to wrap things up today?
Shout out to Jose Canseco. I know we've said it before on this podcast, but that man does not get enough love. I just was feeling it today for Jose.
Wow. That was out of the blue. Did he find Bigfoot? I mean, what's with the Jose Canseco? Okay.
All right. All right. Well, great job once again on the News AF. Thanks so much to Scott St. Pierre for putting this all together. We'll be back next week for more News AF. Take care, everybody. Have a good one. Bye.
We did it, guys.